Now, building regulations are really important in how they shape our city. And Sydney Tower stands out as our city's tallest building. Do you know the one? It's 309 metres high. Planning laws have so far capped the height of development in Sydney to prevent other buildings climbing higher than the Sydney Tower. The City of Sydney has recently endorsed a plan, though, that changes that would allow our skyline to rise by about 100 metres. I'm speaking with Professor Peter Phipps this morning. He's the director of the Henry Halloran Trust for Research and Innovation in Urban Development at the University of Sydney about what this change means for our city. Professor Phipps, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, the height of new buildings joining our city skyline has been capped to 235 metres, which is below the height of Sydney Tower. Why was this cap put in place?
I think it was to try and constrain the height of Sydney and perhaps make it a little bit different from other global cities where maybe higher buildings were prevalent. And just to try and reduce the differences on the skyline in Sydney.
Right, okay. But the city has now proposed an increase on the cap to allow taller buildings. What's that about?
Okay, well, the thing that's interesting about that, even though the press has just talked about increasing in the cap, you only can do that in particular parts of Sydney. So what they're trying to do is still maintain some view lines from different parts of the city. So you can't put those very high buildings everywhere in the city. But the dilemma for Sydney is essentially you're running out of space. On world terms, we've got a very small CBD. We're getting still a large number of new jobs in Sydney CBD, now that CBD's in Australia. And we just need a bit more capacity, particularly for those high-end office jobs that are located in the city.
Right. Okay. So many of the world's largest metropolitans have buildings which reach sort of the 400 metres or high. And our new cap is 330 metres. Is there a reason for that?
I guess they're not trying to go too high too quickly. So we've increased the cap and we're just trying to increase the heights of the building, getting more capacity, particularly in office spaces. In the fullness of time, we might even go higher. Again, I just emphasise we're not doing that everywhere. We're trying to, allocate those tall building property rights to particular parts. So we do preserve some view corridors in parts of the city that I think are pretty important. We've got such spectacular views in a place like Sydney.
Yeah. If you look around the world and you look at other major capital cities, where is a city that you think has done high rises well?
Well, one of my favourite cities is New York, where they do sort of mega height in buildings. I think once you get over a certain height, you almost can't see the top of the building as you walk down the street anyway. So I think people might be sort of overwhelmed, and it's not like we're suddenly going to increase the height of every building in the city. If the buildings are already there, they're unlikely to knock them down and put a very large tower if it's already a tall building. But let's just talk about a place like New York. The CBD there, in terms of the business opportunity, is probably five or six times the size of Sydney. And if Sydney's trying to compete on a global scale as a world business city, we just need some more capacity. So it essentially almost run out of space, which is a sort of weird phenomenon in a place like Sydney, but that's one of, I think, the main motivations behind the increasing height.
Yeah, right, because I guess our CBD footprint is quite small.
It's tiny. We're constrained by, the harbour on three sides. So it's a pretty different situation than, say, a place like Melbourne, where the city can just keep rolling on down the city. So we're trying to provide some extra space, if you like. We're using the only opportunity left, which is sort of going up.
Yeah, and would you ever, is it could the CBD footprint, in a sense, I mean, maybe not officially move out, but you build higher density buildings on the surrounding suburbs, like you know, King's Cross, or what borders it on the south side? What borders the CBD on the south side?
Well, it's sort of moving south, but one of the things that's interesting in our CBDs is firms want to be located close to other firms. So in sort of the knowledge economy, there's a lot of interaction between high-end firms, and even though it doesn't seem like a long way, but sort of going from Circular Quay to Redfern would almost constrain some of those opportunities. I mean, I think the other important thing to remember about Sydney, however, is we're not only focusing on the Sydney CBD, we're also trying to grow a sizable second CBD out of Parramatta, which is progressing quite well. So hopefully we're going to see, you know, additional growth in Parramatta that's going to provide a great opportunity for people living in Western Sydney to reduce their journey to work.
Yeah, actually, you're right, because I used to work with a guy who he works for one of the major banks, and he has to travel in from Parramatta into the CBD each day. And they have said to him that they're in the process of putting a main office out in the Parramatta CBD, and that maybe in 12 months' time he can move to there. So that will be like a 5-minute commute for him, as opposed to the hour into here.
Yeah, that's a huge opportunity for Sydney, and hopefully at the same time we're getting extra buildings in the city of Sydney, we're going to see substantial growth in Parramatta, which has probably just got to the point, I think, where it's reaching that threshold, its growth's going to accelerate. And yeah, for people travelling from Western Sydney, that extra 20 or 30 minutes into the city from Parramatta is a big part of their day. And for people that travel by car, it's a huge waste of greenhouse gas emissions. So if we can get jobs closer to the main growth area of Sydney, which is the western part of the city, that's a great opportunity for Sydney.
Yeah, and Professor Phibbs, just before we wrap up, Sydney already has a few issues around public transport and infrastructure in the CBD in particular. With an increase of building height and therefore obviously more floors, more people, how does the planning work for infrastructure and transport around the CBD with things like the height cap increasing?
Well, obviously, I guess we're going to have more people working there, so we're trying to increase some capacity in public transport. So Sydney Metro has got some new stations in the city, the new Barangaroo station, new station in Pitt Street, so hopefully that's going to relieve that congestion somewhat. You know, we're seeing some good trends in that there's less cars going into the city than there has been in recent years, so it's a matter of just trying to keep increasing that public transport capacity. We've already seen in Sydney that our estimates for public transport use in 2030 have already been exceeded in Sydney, so people are flocking to public transport in droves. We've just got to keep that construction of new transport infrastructure going as efficiently as possible.
Yep. Oh, Professor Phibbs, look, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. Always good to talk about cities on your show. Okay, thanks again.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.